But you like this.
Not that one. I like the music.
That's a good tune.
I like that they're really good at when they do that, because there are a bunch of people that like cello.
Yeah. Want to call it 23 and a half? We can call it 23 and a half. I think it's episode 24. We're on episode 24 now. And we're going to time it. This is my goal, is that we time the episode so that when we get to 30, it's our Back to the Future episode.
Yeah. Let's do it.
30 years.
That sounds like a great plan.
We gotta time it just right. So find 6 more episodes to talk about something.
Before October 15th?
I think it's October 26th. That's the Back to the Future nerd in me wearing the flux capacitor t-shirt.
Wow,
you got
folks,
flux capacitor.
You can't see it, but Eric is wearing his flux capacitor t-shirt.
So this is episode 24 of The Cave of Solitude, for the month of August 2015. And we are once again joined by our good friends and past hosts of the show, Little Sparrow.
What's up?
And her Match Made in Space partner, our wild card. And of course, last but definitely not least, everybody's favorite host of the show. Gonna say anything?
Lady J.
Hi.
Say something. Everyone's waiting to hear from you.
I thought you were gonna keep going.
No.
That was
your cue to go.
No, but I thought you were like building me up.
Oh, you want me to go through all your
aliases? Yeah, I wasn't going to interrupt a good thing.
Lady J, Daphne the Amazing. What else does she have? Daphne J.
Lady DJ Symphony.
DJ Symphony.
And then something emotional.
Daphne the Emotional?
Daphne the Emotional.
Oh, Daphne the Emotional.
That's right.
From episode 21, I think.
22.
What was that one? What was she talking
about? Jurassic World and the animals.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Daphne.
Most
all
evening.
Hello.
After we go through the roll call of names. So, how is everybody doing this evening?
Great.
Full.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Decent evening.
Full.
Music, food.
What have you guys been up to since the last time you were with us on the podcast?
We've had some adventures. We went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a fun time.
It was.
Did it live up to its hype?
Its
Hall of Fame hype. Have you been to any other Hall of Fames?
I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame once.
It's great.
It is pretty good. It's a different genre.
Yeah, it's
so
very different.
Really?
Like sports.
Really.
How big is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
It's literally a pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like square foot? What are you asking me?
No, like,
sure.
can you walk through it within an hour, or can you spend, like, a day there?
You need
like
at
half
least
a day, maybe.
You need at least 3 hours. You spend most of your time on the bottom, where there's, like, it teaches you all about how rock started, and, you know, what got people into rock music, and the really important ones, like Elvis, and the Rolling Stones, and others, of course, not just them. So that part is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's this whole section where you can just sit and watch them talk to artists. That's like a two-hour long thing. You can just sit and listen about why they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which we didn't even touch.
Yeah, I would like that. That's my kind of thing.
All the old guitars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, there's...
They have a special Beatles exhibit.
That's
where,
cool.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite things about it. And it's right next to the Rolling Stones exhibit, and it's a really fun place. Like, if you really enjoy music and you like the history of music, it's a cool way to spend an afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Admission wasn't too offensive.
And they even went into things like art, like the artists, their other things they like to do. So Jimi Hendrix liked to draw. And
oh,
then
really?
They go into
mm-hmm.
other things like, you know, this is a famous photographer that did a lot of shots.
That was a special exhibit that day that we were there.
Right, so it's kind of cool. And there's a whole, like, urban idea where there's that one guy that took pictures of, I forget the band, sorry. But they, basically, he was very, like, in their whole career.
So okay, he follows, like, he documented their career. That's cool.
So they have pictures of all the different places he was. It's cool.
Yeah. So Jimi Hendrix's art was on display as well in his section of the museum. The sofa from his house was on display.
Filled with cigarette burns.
It had, like, cigarette burns in it. And it was cool design, like a vintage late 60s, early 70s style sofa. Just chained off, can't touch it, can't sit on it, but there it is.
Mm-hmm.
They had a Rolling Stones arcade pinball machine.
Mm-hmm.
The drum set from the Beatles. One of their drum sets. And one of my favorite
Ben
things
Halen's
about the...
Ben Halen's, they had theirs too, which is huge.
Yeah.
Their drum set was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Beatles exhibit had every album was on a TV screen.
Mm-hmm.
And when the album lit up, it would be like a brief little mini documentary about the making of that album. So we spent just a fair amount of time just sitting on a bench and watching that.
We spent an hour walking through a few exhibits, and then we just sat and watched that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of nice. Take a little break. Learn about the Beatles. We did that with Elvis, too.
That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you prefer? Rolling Stones or the Beatles?
Some time ago, I might have said the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
But I have since acquired my dad's record collection.
Mm-hmm.
And I've listened to some Rolling Stones. So I think that they're both... They're different. They're not comparable to each other. They each bring something to the table that the other doesn't have.
I find Mick Jagger irritates me. So his personality I don't like, so I stick with the Beatles.
It's always interesting to hear, like, when you see where people stand on certain bands right from the start. It's always a good way to segue into other stuff that they like. That's one of those points there, like Beatles, Rolling Stones, and then from there you can kind of, I think in the 90s it was like Oasis or Blur kind of thing. I'm trying to think of another comparison. Can I always go back to my rap
comparison? Backstreet Boys are NSYNC.
Ah, they're practically the same thing, though.
90 degrees.
How about
you?
Daft J? Beatles or Rolling Stones?
The Beatles.
Why?
I just like them.
Simple as that? It's a good answer. I just like them.
But I like their early stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't particularly like their later hippie stuff.
So you don't like Sgt. Pepper's? Lonely Hearts Club Band?
I'll listen to it, but it's not my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
I like...
What's your go-to?
When they were, like, clean-cut shave and then they wore the blazers, you know?
When they were a boy band. A pop boy band.
I suppose so, yeah.
When they were the Backstreet Boys
of
their time.
I like the 60s, the early stuff.
The catchy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
The number one pop singles. Yeah, they're fun. They're timeless songs.
Yeah. I feel their stuff got darker later.
Yeah, it got a little bit political.
That's when they started. It's when they started doing drugs and experimenting, and their music expanded.
Like their album covers, like you can actually see the transition of their music, like physically, like they were clean cut, and then they got a little risque, and then all of a sudden it was just a hot mess. The hair was in the face. They weren't shaven. It was John Lennon. No, he was shaven, but
he had a beard too for a bit.
It was just a little like.
But I think when they were all clean cut, I think that they were more of a manufactured band. I don't know if they were as much of the
true
band
to
that...
themselves?
Yeah, I think they were very much a money-making machine.
Discussed that people have commented on how their stuff changed so much later on, and it's because they were doing what they wanted.
And that's the stuff later that made them, a lot of people considering them the greatest band of all time, arguably, is when they... actually started to make their own music, like the White Album.
Yeah, but then
Album
they just started throwing animals in their like sound effects. Like there was an elephant.
But that's
an
upon your first listen, though.
But no, when I listened to it,
what are you talking about?
The album
on Sgt. Pepper's. There's a song that has like animal sounds.
Like, I heard a duck, I swear, and then I heard a tambourine, and all of a sudden I heard like elephants and a roar, And I'm like, what's happening in here?
Wildlife menagerie.
It was just all over the place. I don't know. I like the early stuff. I like the Beatles. They're good people.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So.
And then Ringo Starr was on Thomas the Tank Engine.
Was he?
Yeah, he was the train conductor.
Oh, that's right. What a... That's not a...
That is a way back, way back.
Yeah, but like you went from being a Beatle to...
No, come on.
Yeah, but Joey Fantone is the voice for Family Feud.
Who?
Joey Fantone.
Fontaine.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't even know it's him until you see the credits.
Again, you go from doing a world tour to being either on Thomas the Train or the voice on Family Feud.
No, but think about it this way. He introduced young children to Thomas the Tank Engine, but then who's Ringo Starr? I mean, they didn't have Google back then. So
I'm pretty sure most people would.
But their parents would have been like, this is Ringo Starr from the Beatles.
The least famous and least loved. Poor Ringo. It's Paul and John. Come on, get a grip. Who are we kidding?
Is that why George didn't make it? Why did he die again? I don't remember.
I think he had cancer.
Yeah, I think he died.
Oh, Lennon got shot.
Mm-hmm.
Ringo's still kicking, right?
Ringo's still kicking. And so is Paul.
Why are we talking about this?
Morbid.
We just digressed.
What about you, Eric? What's your favorite?
Beatles or Rolling Stones?
I'm probably going to say Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Rolling Stones, but I don't have enough listening experience of them to give an educated opinion. I have like their greatest hits, like a double album from them.
Yeah.
So I like a lot of what's on it, but I think I'm more partial to the Beatles at this point, if I had to pick one. But I don't know, that could change. I could start buying more older stuff from the Rolling Stones, listening to their albums in full. Because I think the bands that I really like are equally influenced from both of them, from Rolling Stones and the Beatles, like Oasis or I can't think of something else top of my head, but you can hear the influence of both of those bands in them, so I probably like them both equally. So recently you've gotten a new hobby, Little Sparrow.
Yes, I've acquired a new hobby.
What is that hobby?
Tell us about it. I collect and listen to vinyl records.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And how did that hobby come into your life?
You want the long story or the short story? The long story, you can go to caveofsolitude.com and read Sparrow's Nest.
Yes, do that. Nice, very nice. Plug.
That's the long story. The short story is that I kind of always had like this little silent love affair with the vinyl, and then Wild Card over here got me a player. For our anniversary this year.
I fought getting a record player for quite a while.
Yeah.
But, you know.
He's, you know, ever practical.
But it was a good buy. We had some friends help us find the right parts to fit what we wanted. Because there was a specific thing Leticia wanted for an amplifier.
Yes, because as I mentioned in the article that I wrote on Sparrow's Nest, my dad had a very specific type of amplifier that I wanted, but he sold it. So I wanted something that was reminiscent of that. And so
this nostalgic.
Guy, yeah. Yeah. So he hunted with the help of some friends and found what I wanted.
Because sometimes you need a little help from your friends.
You get by with a little help from your friends. Yeah.
Cheesy. Very nice though. Very nice. So basically what you're saying is you are a hipster.
Caught me off guard with that one.
Well, she doesn't have the beard. So
okay, I have a question.
My pants aren't tight enough for that.
Okay, what is the definition of a hipster? Everyone has a different idea. What is it? Can you guys describe to me what your definition of a hipster? Enlighten me.
I didn't know we were talking about this tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Just came to me.
I see, you have a book. Mm-hmm. You have a manual on how to find hipsters. So I feel like you know what a hipster is, because you have a book there that tells you.
You know what? I don't know what it is. That's why I had a book that was like, okay, let me read about this.
I feel like there's the latest thing is that there's a certain kind of glasses that hipsters wear,
mm-hmm.
and there's a certain beard and like really old school mustache that's like waxed and kind of curls out.
So you're talking very male hipsters,
right? Guy
so
hipsters.
This is the image.
Yeah, it's more of the image of them as to what they like, I guess. It got records became something that was very hipster, but people have been liking records for so long that
I think that there's I think that no matter what kind of group you try to put yourself in, you're always going to have some kind of individuality. So one might dress like a hipster, but one might not share the same political views as a hipster, which I don't know what those are because
yeah, and for example, we're driving in a car, and we're listening to music that we grew up with, and some new stuff, and a little kid in the backseat is like, what's with all the hipster music? So really, as long, if someone doesn't know what
like
you're doing,
an age gap.
You're considered a hipster, I think, if someone doesn't really understand what you're doing.
We were at Urban Outfitters today. That was not sponsored. and I couldn't help but notice that the hipster look seems to be something of like, I got out of bed this morning and don't care. For the ladies. Just kind of, you know, messy, sloppy, oversized sweaters, men's shirts. I don't know.
What do you think?
I feel like it's more of a style than it's like a movement of some kind. I think it's just...
What do you think, Daph? When you think of the word hipster, and because it comes with so much negative connotation too, like nobody wants to be referred to as that, I don't think. And when people are told that they're one,
it
like,
comes off as an insult, I think. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, you're such a hipster.
Yeah. What do you think that means?
I don't know. I think hipsters are pretenders.
Pretenders.
And I don't think people are, from what I've experienced, I don't think people get offended when they're told they're hipsters. I think people want to be in that category.
Really?
I think. Like, they'll never be outright happy that you came to that conclusion about them, but I think people like the idea of belonging to something that not everybody can be. So that's why I just think they're just pretenders.
Like, you think they don't really like what they like? They're just doing it because it's cool?
Yeah. Hmm. It's just in now. To be different. To do the hat and the...
Like, oh, this burlap sack clothing is so awesome. It's so comfortable, but it's really
terrible. Nobody else wears this, so I'm going to wear it because it's cool.
My pants are so, so tight and I'm bulging, but, you know, no one else can do this because I have no thighs. I have no...
But
no,
I thought...
Nothing.
So I thought that initially that... To for something to be hipster was that it was not mainstream.
But it is, though, because everybody's doing it.
Like, the hipster movement is now mainstream because everybody thinks that they can be that way. So there must be something specific that is not mass marketed that...
I think... Because I thought... I was always trying to figure that out, too, and wondering what defines a person as that. Because, it had that negative connotation to it, and it seemed like... Like you said, the pretenders of something, right? Or wanting to be... I think my conclusion about it is that every subgenre of people's interests will have that group who think that their opinion is a little bit more elevated or more valid because they're not going to like the thing that everybody knows about, and they make an effort to try to find things that nobody else knows about. And because once you say that you like the thing that everybody else likes, then you don't like anything that's cool. I think it, from my experience, even in like just reading comic books, finding those things that are creator-owned books and avoiding reading like Marvel and DC books and trying to like, no, why would I read Superman? Superman's stupid. I gotta read this that, you know, is a creator-owned book and is completely separated from
the... Independent from the...
Yeah, something independent. Corporate. So, and they're, when you don't read what they read, you're obviously not, your tastes aren't as good.
Refined.
Right, and I think it goes down to everything, the way some people, because there's, no one way to dress that makes people, I think, fall into that category. But you can see sometimes when you ride the train in the city that a person is trying to be so individualistic in the way that they dress to be different, that it's like, what are you going for? And you're obviously trying to make a statement by what you're presenting, but
mm-hmm.
what does it mean at the end of the day? So I don't know. I just thought, I always like getting people's opinion on that. And this thing about vinyl now, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's this whole thing of people thinking that it's kind of a new fad or a trend that makes you kind of snobby in the way that you...
Pretentious.
Yeah, there's that whole thing about like, oh, you think you're better in your musical taste or your... You know, the way that you listen to music is on an elevated, more sophisticated level that would, you know, qualify you as being, you know, you're a hipster in your way you listen to music. You didn't grow up on vinyl. What do you know really about that whole history of it? Now that you're buying Pink Floyd records, like, what do you know about Pink Floyd type of thing, right? So I just wanted to get, like, do you ever feel that sort of thing towards it? That it's, what's your thing for vinyl?
It's just nostalgic for me.
Do you notice a sound difference?
It depends on the album. I mean, I don't want to get all pretentious about it. But I think that some albums just were, they have more richness, more layers to the actual composition of the music, not just how it sounds at the end. Like, it's like listening to a record is like reading a book to me instead of watching a movie.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Wildcard?
So, I grew up listening to tapes.
Mm-hmm, me
I didn't
too.
Grow up with records at all. And so when I grew up, it was like all about having CDs or then MP3s. But so you want to have people over, let's listen to some music. Everyone's like on their phones, flipping through their phone, trying to find a song they want to play
or something
like that. Well, I feel now it'd be kind of cool if you just had records people could look at. And then, so say you're having a cocktail party. They come over, they look at your records, they pull one out. That's the next one that's going on the record player. I think it's kind of a nice way to have people not like standing by their phones or with technology. They can just, you know...
Yeah. Yeah.
Social.
Yeah. Look at this. Hey, I love this album. You know, and move on.
Discuss the artwork of the album covers and stuff.
I think, too, people who... Like, my father had records, and I grew up with tapes, and later on, tons of CDs. I loved having CDs, but I think so many people today are used to... They don't have the attention span to listen to an entire album. And I think... What a lot of kids or young people these days who listen to music, there's so much option on your iPod, on your CD. Well, I know from my CD players, I could skip songs I didn't like, but I usually tried to listen to an entire album because you can only put one disc in there at a time,
mm-hmm.
still. So it still had that same concept of one thing spinning, unless you made like a mix CD, which was also cool, which was always the thing I think about vinyl. Was that you couldn't sometimes do that. You can't really skip songs. But now, as an older person, that's part of the charm of it, is that it forces you to be selective in what you're going to listen to. And whatever you put on there, you want it to be quality, that you play it from beginning to end. And it really, it's like you said, Little Sparrow, it's like reading a book. Because now you really get a sense of the entire vision that artist had for that particular record. And the really good ones play differently than albums where it was just like radio single, filler song. You can really see that an artist had an opinion, a voice, something that a statement he was trying to make with that. So I enjoy listening to it, and it makes your record selection or the choices that you make in what you listen to a little different. Because if I'm listening to my iPod, I know when me and Daft J play it, she would rather have it just shuffle sometimes instead of just one thing playing, because that can become like, well, you have all this music, you're just listening to one group. But when you put the record on, now you're really getting a full scope of the band and the artist. I think I don't notice a sound difference as much as some people say, but I enjoy the process of listening to it. So what are some of the albums that you've got in your collection that stand out for you?
One of my dad's vinyls is the Live at Carnegie Hall Bill Withers Soul album.
That's nice.
It was a nice surprise, because I didn't even really think my dad listened to that kind of music anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So it was neat to find that in his collection, and it's just really chill. It's really cool. It's a good listen all the way through. There's some comedy in there, and it's a good one. I like that one.
That was what I was going to say, too. I just found myself just... You put it on, you sit back, and you listen. It was nice.
Do you find it makes your taste in music different? Just listening to things you probably never would have listened to otherwise before?
Maybe. Maybe a little bit. I mean, like, there's a lot of pop albums in there, too, that my dad had, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and, like, the Grease soundtrack. So there's still, like, you know, some not deep stuff in his collection. But also my personal collection, like, what I've acquired so far for myself is pretty different. Like, I have the Blue Album, Weezer's Blue Album, and I have the National, three of the National albums, which I love listening to from start to finish because they're gorgeous. They're beautiful albums. So I guess maybe it's changed my taste a little bit. I'm just more careful in what I buy, how I spend my money on vinyl, than how I'm just buying anything that I like in mm-hmm. digital format.
What are some of the things that you have lined up that you want to look for?
I hate this question.
Why?
Because I don't know. I get really overwhelmed. Like, even today we went down to the record stores downtown and I was just overwhelmed by...
Options.
Yeah. Genres and yeah, it's just... There's so much.
So what was your favorite albums growing up that you could listen to from beginning to end that you would want, that you, or would qualify for your collection now? You said the Blue Album, that's a good pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was my first purchase. The Beatles.
Any of them?
Most, like Daphne said earlier, their earlier stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy listening there. I know all the songs, I can sing along, and...
It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elton John, it's Greatest Hits.
It's a good album. One.
I feel like we need a Bob Dylan, though.
Yeah.
We're missing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I keep looking... Yeah, Bob Dylan's high on the list of things to get next, and...
And Paul Simon?
Some Neil Young.
That's on your list?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to find, like, a really... I'm trying to find more live stuff. I think that'd be more interesting than the Greatest Hits. I know that they're kind of cool to have because you know every song.
Mm-hmm.
But I want more live albums because that's the kind of thing you can't find in MP3 sometimes. You're looking for a specific song and you just can't find it. So that's kind of the thing I'm looking for.
I've always, I've listened to, but I've always read that the Nirvana Unplugged album is a really good live album. Some people say that's actually their best piece of work that they did, and it's all acoustic the way he played it, and it really gave you a sense of how talented of a songwriter Kurt Cobain actually was, as opposed to just the being the poster child of teenaged angst. He actually loved the Beatles. He was a big Beatles fan. And I think that influenced a lot of his songwriting. You hear it more on that live album. So it's true. When you hear people live, it really gives you a better sense of who they are as performers and artists. How about you, Def J? We have a bunch of records now.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome to the dark side.
The hipster side. The pretentious music side. Is there any stuff that we've gotten that stand out for you so far?
The Beatles were a big hit in my house when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how this happened, but a lot of Motown. Mm. I grew up with a lot of soul music in the house, which is kind of weird because, I don't know, parents were immigrants. Like, there was a lot of Latin music in the house, but then there was, like, soul music anytime. That's from what I remember, which is why I think that's always my go-to. Like, I've always liked the Four Tops and the Temptations and the Supremes and, who did we find today? There's so many.
David Ruffin. Mm-hmm. I think he was in the Temptations, so. Otis Redding.
No, the chicks there.
Whitney Houston.
No.
The Pointer Sisters?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Was it that one? No. Was it them?
Yeah, you were looking at that.
So, it's just, and that's the thing, and as a kid, I didn't know who was singing them.
You just knew the songs.
I just knew the songs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I knew the lyrics, I knew the rhythm to stuff, but I didn't know who was what. So I'm not familiar with albums. I just look at the back of the thing, and I'm like, wait, this song title sounds like it would be this.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure. So when I go to these stuff, I try to hear what's on the album and then hope that that's what I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I think we've been doing pretty good.
So the Motown stuff you have thus far is your standout?
Yeah.
That you enjoy?
Yeah.
I think that whole era of music with the Motown Renaissance was huge. Like, you had amazing music come out of that time. You had Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye and then the Jackson 5. Like, everything that branched out from Motown is incredible. Like, you think of Michael Jackson later on. Made some of the best pop music of all time. So, and I think even the family background, like the type of, even though there's Latin music, there's still a certain appeal of soul and that Motown vibe to people who enjoy dancing.
Mm-hmm.
If you come from a culture that enjoys dancing as part of the music selection, Motown is right up that alley, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's natural that you guys probably all enjoyed that. Do you guys have any Motown stuff?
Not yet.
But you have soul. You have, like, I don't think Bill Withers, I don't know if he was Motown, but that's still soul.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Bought some Otis Redding today.
That's nice.
Some Miles Davis.
That was a nice album.
Mm-hmm.
The Otis Redding was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling It Out, seeing it all blue. It's my first record that has a color tint to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Any records that you want to get that you haven't gotten yet, Daft J? Is there something on your list of, like, a must-have that you want?
Yes.
Okay.
Would you like to share with us?
Thank you for your affirmative answer. Okay, moving on. No, what is it?
I want to get Peter Cetera.
Okay.
Glory of
love. He was so amazing. I want to get, and I know that you have these probably somewhere. I want to get some Madonna's.
Mm-hmm.
Some Madonna albums. I want to get Purple Rain.
That's a good one.
I'd like to get Amy Winehouse because I feel like her stuff, her album was very, like, in that it's that genre of music that I like. Like, it's that jazzy type of blues type of
soul
feel.
Yeah.
But she has a potty mouth, that one. And, like, when you listen to Milo, you want to, like, blare it, right? But then when you have someone saying things that she was saying, it's just, it's like
things that make you laugh out loud in the record store now.
It's true. You gotta,
like you guys said before, right? And I'm in full agreement of it. When you put in a record, you want to listen to it thoroughly. And with some things, I'd be like, it's a little too harsh,
aggressive.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. It's true.
Hip hop albums, though, I'd like to get B from Common, because, again, I feel like it's in that same type of.
Yeah, it has a lot of jazz and,
yeah.
and blues influence.
Yeah.
R&B influence. Yeah, it's true. That's a great album. I really like my Cure album,
mm-hmm.
Disintegration.
It's a beautiful album.
It is.
Hashtag Ant-Man.
Yes, it was the... It was featured in that. You guys haven't seen Ant-Man yet.
Not yet.
Oh.
Spoilers.
Spoilers!
Oh, no.
We don't have the soundtrack song.
There's a scene in there where...
Don't tell him.
No, it's done in a comical way, but the song starts playing,
mm.
and it's really cool.
Cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. That album I really enjoy listening to, because I can... I have the CD of it as well, but older CDs that I have, you can see that the mastering or the engineering on them, the volume just doesn't go up, even when I play it in my car. It's just certain things have different volume levels.
Mm-hmm.
So this now, having been, you know, remastered and put on a nice product, blaring it from the speakers, you can really get all the sounds and the details and the music. And it's such a... The Disintegration album is so layered with all different types of instruments in it. It sounds great playing it like that. So that's one that stands out. And I think, too, having the Oasis album is good, because that's
mm-hmm.
my favorite album.
It's a good one.
But being able to play, like, different stuff that I never tried before, like Miles Davis, and stuff like Otis Redding, that I always liked that type of music, especially because a lot of the stuff I grew up on, like, it all sampled that type of music. It's very heavily infused with jazz and soul music. So hearing it now as an adult, but not hearing sampled hip-hop songs, but hearing the actual version, I appreciate it now more. So I like having those in my collection. So yeah, it's fun. It's a fun hobby. I don't think you're a hipster, no matter what anybody says about you.
Oh, thank you. I'm not sure how to take that.
I'm just kidding. So have you guys... read any books lately? Anything? Anyone?
I'm in the middle of reading Weight of Worlds, a Star Trek novel that you bought me.
Okay, is it good so far?
It comes and goes. It's not my favorite so far. So I kind of get into it and then I lose interest and I get into it again,
mm-hmm.
but I'm trying to finish it. And we read, or rather, we had Will Wheaton read to us the latest novel by Ernest Cline.
Mm-hmm. Which you bought for me.
Armada, yes. We downloaded the audiobook and...
And how is that?
It's very different than Ready Player One. So if you're a fan of Ready Player One and you're looking at Armada thinking it's going to be the same kind of thing, it's different.
But that's good, though.
Yeah, it's not a sequel. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
But it if you liked Ready Player One, you would
mm-hmm.
like...
Mm-hmm.
Armada.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it appeals to the
yes.
same sensibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, but it's a different...
And it was very similar when it came to music. Like, it was...
Pop
Ready Player One
references.
Was full about
yeah,
full
yeah,
about
yeah.
music and how he loved certain things. And then now, so the same thing goes in the next book.
Yeah.
So there's little things that he does that the pop culture references and the little... I don't know if the right word is tropes. I don't like using that word. But stuff that he reuses to appeal to
mm-hmm.
that audience.
Yeah, Ready Player One was more like video game, like retro video game centric, whereas in Armada he talks about the video games from a certain perspective, but it's more about the soundtrack, the music.
And just to throw in with Will Wheaton, if you read the book yourself, you're going to get certain voices that you get. He does a phenomenal job, because every character, some of them have accents... Some of them speak a little, like, he creates a lot of those.
Does he?
And
yeah,
it's
he brings
really
a lot
awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's even one part where he says something in Chinese, and it's actually really cool. Like, he does a really good job of it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so as a reader, it was cool too.
Yeah, he's really, really good at reading the book. But the book itself is also pretty,
mm-hmm.
pretty good. We really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I've started reading it. I like it thus far, but I'm not really into the meat and potatoes of the book
I'm really
yet.
Holding back on my review because I don't want a spoiler alert.
Yeah, don't spoil it
so.
Yet. Well, you know, we should do an episode where we talk about the book itself
mm-hmm.
after I'm done reading it.
It's a date.
Daph J, how about you? I know you've read something in not too far recent past. What was it? You want to share it with people? You don't remember.
What?
It was a book I suggested to you of your favorite character.
And I
Wow.
read Batman.
Yes. When in doubt, you always read Batman.
But it was a Nightwing.
Dick Grayson.
Dick Grayson.
Yes.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And he played the role of Batman when Batman had just, because he had gone MIA for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone had to take on the mantle and take care of the city and oversee things.
How did you find reading a book about Batman that wasn't actually Batman in the Cowl?
I was very hesitant at first, and then I lost my mind.
Could you elaborate
in a good way? It was so long ago.
Remember the title of it? Sure.
Yeah.
What was
that,
it?
That's a no.
It was Black Mirror.
That's it. Good job.
Thank you.
You told me, you remember it. Good job.
Yeah. You're welcome.
So, would you recommend it, or would you...
It was scary.
Okay.
Wow.
Who wrote, writers, do you remember all that stuff?
Writers was Jeff Loeb.
No. I'm doubting that you actually read this book.
No, I did, and you know that I did, because I said to you... It was messing me up, and there was the villain was this guy that was basically pawning off to this underground society. It was so good, you guys should read it.
it was Scott Snyder.
That's what I said.
You said Jeff Loeb.
I was going to say, saying that so to make sure if you knew who wrote it.
That's good. Okay. Test putting me on the spot. I appreciate it. Actually, I'd recommend it to you. I don't know if you've read it, Black Mirror.
No.
It's a really good... They put it up there with some of the best Batman stories of all time. I'm actually surprised at how highly it's regarded, but it's deserved because it's a really good story. You wouldn't like it, Little Sparrow.
I believe you.
It's no Joker.
When she says it's scary, I won't even touch it.
But you would definitely like it.
Just play dark cellos in the background.
Exactly.
Yeah,
is it the same universe as... The owls?
No. This happens just before the universe restarts for Court of Owls.
Right.
So if you've read Court of Owls, there's references to Bruce Wayne not having been Batman for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. There was one where I think I was telling you about the one I was reading where he was like going through time.
Yes. Yes.
So that's part of that one.
So it kind of coincides with that publishing time.
Mm.
But during... This is actually when Bruce Wayne returns back to his regular timeline after having been trapped in a time loop.
Cool.
But he keeps Nightwing in the mantle of the Bat for a little bit. Because he now... Bruce Wayne comes back and he basically says, all these years, I've been funding Batman. So what I'm going to do is create a corporation called Batman Inc., and all over the world, there's going to be a Bat representative of some kind. So no one really associates that Bruce Wayne is Batman, because everywhere there is a Batman of some kind. So he keeps Dick Grayson as Batman in Gotham. But for all intents and purposes, people think he is the Batman. But it's interesting because it has to be written differently for... a kid who grew up having fun being a superhero, now he's got to be this dark and scary person, which is just, it's not him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty intense storyline involving an underground market that sells, not to give too much away, but they sell old relics, or not relics, but what's the word? Collector's items of things that villains have used in the past, their weapons, their...
To defeat their foes.
Yeah,
or
to defeat their foes, or their little trophies.
Mm.
Or, for instance, there was the crowbar that killed Jason Todd, was on for auction. So all these, like, underground rich people who are sick and twisted actually want to buy this stuff for their collection. So there's a storyline involving them, and then there's one involving Commissioner Gordon's son.
Mm.
I don't know if you remember the movie Year One.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When Bruce saves the baby.
Don't remember that part.
He jumps off of the bridge and he protects the baby from falling, but he's not dressed as Batman. Mm. And he gives the child back to Jim Gordon. Whatever happened to that kid? What does he turn out to be like? So this is a story that kind of delves into that. It's cool. It's a really good book.
Mm. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Thanks for taking the thunder.
Well, I know Jeff Loeb is your favorite writer, but I'm not sure if you wrote that book. Okay, so speaking on Ernest Cline and Armada, are there any books that you would like to see turned into movies that you've read?
We actually talked about that when Armada was finished, that it would make a good movie. Because, well, we had talked before, though, how Ready Player One would make a great movie, but there's all this bureaucratic red tape to getting that going because of all the licensing that's required to make that work. But Armada has less of that, and kind of a more interesting sci-fi storyline. So,
do you think it would make a better movie than Ready Player One?
I think it would be an easier movie to make. I don't know that it would be better. I think it would just... It would be cool.
I don't know all the details about it, but from what I've read in multiple places and on IMDb, Ready Player One is supposed to be released for 2017, and it's going to be directed by Steven Spielberg.
That's exciting.
Yeah. There isn't any cast as of yet mentioned, but there was a rumor saying that he was trying to get Gene Wilder out of retirement, the guy who played the original Willy Wonka, which I thought would have been awesome since the character of Ready Player One, Hathaway, I forget his first name, James, is it James Hathaway?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
The eccentric that built the video game.
Yeah, the guy who... Oh, I can't remember his name, driving me nuts now. But he's essentially a Willy Wonka-esque character, so it would be really cool to see Gene Wilder in that role. But Steven Spielberg behind it, I think that's exciting. Mm-hmm. How about you, Daph? Any books that you've read, comic books or otherwise, that you'd want to see translated into a movie? Or what are some of your favorite movies that are based on books? You think of that?
Well, yeah.
That's your number one answer for tonight. Always positive. What is it?
Movies made into books?
Books that were made into movies. Because I asked if there's any books you'd like to see made as a movie, but what are some movies? James Donovan Halliday, I'm sorry. That's his name. Go ahead.
I'm going to keep taking the thunder. So, books made into movies.
Yeah.
Okay. What have I read?
It doesn't have to be something you read. It could be a movie you watched that you know is based off of a book.
I know the answer to this question.
We'll come back. How about you guys? Can you think of any adaptations from a book to a movie that you think are like tops that you've seen?
I did like Ender's Game.
Did you like that?
I did.
Yeah?
I thought that they did a good job of taking all the different elements and turning it into a 2-hour movie.
There's a lot going on there. I think that's a pretty challenging book to adapt to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they did the elements of the battle school. His home was so brief, but you really couldn't do a whole lot. His brother and sister, you couldn't really see much in the movie. But those elements were cool in the book because you could really think about it. But in the movie, they'd be too hard to get all that in there. So I think they did a really good job of keeping it like kids in battle school, and they didn't turn it into a teenage angst movie.
Do you think that movie was more or less appreciated or if you had read the books? Like, if you're a person that went into that movie just watching a movie, do you think it would have been like, this is just weird?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that if you didn't read the books, you'd probably be like, what did I just watch?
Yeah. Especially the way it ends. Like, I think there's a lot of stuff,
yeah,
knowing what is in the book makes you appreciate it more. I don't know.
Like, even that little thing where he's a little rodent and he was climbing, and like all that kind of stuff, you read for like a long time, him playing this game. And in the movie, it's like a couple seconds long. I wouldn't have understood it.
The significance.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Maze Runner? Did you like that adaptation?
I didn't see the movie.
No.
So...
I don't remember either, like, how it was supposed to go when I saw the movie. I was a little confused, because it was different, like, a long time between when I saw it and when I read it.
Okay.
So... to my knowledge, it was kind of cool to see some of the aspects, like the monsters that are in the maze. It was kind of cool to see them, mm-hmm, see what they thought they looked like, and what the vines were like, and that. I kind of like seeing what the writer initially thought they were supposed to look like. Hopefully he was part of that. But
my favorite part of watching that movie was sitting with Daph J and hearing her react louder than anybody else in that theater. When the spiders or the different monsters in the maze came out and attacked. I think she screamed so loud one time that the gentleman sitting beside us, his popcorn flew in the air as she was screaming. She had to look at, I'm sorry.
I think you need that.
It makes, yeah, that's part of the experience of going to the theater, right? But she definitely made it the most exciting part of that movie. Did you like that movie?
I
Maze
did.
Runner? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Would you watch it again? Would you own it?
I think it intrigued me enough that I would try. I think I want to read it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because those that have read it, I mean, I guess it's always the same story. The film never really does the novel justice.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed it, not knowing anything about it. But
sometimes
then
it's better.
It was enough. I'm like, oh, so it's better than what I thought, than what I saw. So it you know,
mm-hmm,
I want to read it. But then I don't read, so.
That's not true. You do read. You just don't like to finish. You get to the point of the book, you're like, okay, I've gotten what I wanted.
No, the thing
out of this
is,
book.
And also, but when I read, then I don't do anything else but read.
That's true.
Like the house will be on fire, and I'm,
mm-hmm,
still sitting there reading.
That is true.
So I don't function.
You go into a zone.
Yeah,
but you have to get into it before you're at that point, right?
Yeah.
Nah, once she's into it, though, there's no taking her off of the book.
Yeah, me too. I once read a whole novel in 3 days. I didn't do anything else for 3.
Wow.
And you were just remarking earlier that when I'm reading something, I might even be like hanging off the bed trying to read it late at night.
That was out of context.
Can I answer the question you asked me before?
Yes.
I think you asked me what movie would I like to be made into a book?
Yes.
I don't know if it's already made into a book yet, but I like Super 8.
Mm-hmm.
You'd want it to be made into a book.
Yeah, wasn't that your question?
No, I said which book would... Which movie based off of a book did you enjoy? So like something like Jurassic Park.
I thought you said then the other way around.
It was which book would you like to have as a movie?
Okay, well, I'm answering it backwards.
That's a cool idea, though.
I agree. I enjoyed that Super 8 movie theater experience with you, Daphne J.
That was a great movie.
I think I might have screamed in that one, too. I think we both did.
That was New York City. And that was a fun time.
Yeah. That's my answer to your question that you didn't ask.
I like it. It's a good one. It would probably make a really good book, actually. There'd be so much more character backstory.
Huh. Maybe it's like a short story.
I'm not sure. It had a feel of like E.T. with just a more scary alien trying to get back home that you don't want to mess with. It's like if E.T. had been captured at the beginning of the movie by the scientists or the doctors who were looking for him, what would happen? I think that's
would have been
bad.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I love Super 8. Abrams, Star Wars, Star Trek. He knows what he's doing. Are you guys excited for Star Wars?
Except with water and the lady. Lady in the water. What's with the backwards things tonight? Didn't he do Lady in the Water?
No, M. Night Shyamalan did Lady in the Water.
Oh, that's... Yeah, he's a weirdo.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
see?
That was a dumb movie.
Hashtag backwards. Okay, but I like that movie, though!
It was so good.
Because it was like... But then I saw it. Okay, the first time I saw it, I'm like, this is a terrible movie. Like, I don't even understand what's going on. And then... I liked it. Because it was at nighttime and it was scary.
Oh, brother. Did you watch The Village?
Yes!
That's a good one.
Village is good. Village is good. Lady in the Water.
Well, then I saw it again by myself because I think you fell asleep. Because
it wasn't good.
And then I'm like...
That's the reason why I fell asleep. I fell asleep when everything.
Anyway, I watched it and I'm like, yeah, but I don't... Mm. And then there was like this asymmetrical man... That was, like, being weird. But the scary parts, the animal scary things, was fun for me. I like scary movies.
Listening to you describe this movie, which I have never seen, makes me think of Big Fish.
Okay, I've heard tons of things about this movie. And is that a good movie?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, it's by Ryan's favorite.
It's one of my favorites, yeah.
Director.
Oh, favorite director, yeah.
I've never seen it, but I've heard it's good.
Oh, come on over.
But It's someone telling a story about their life, right?
It's like a boy finding, like, as an adult, finding out his dad's story.
Right.
Like, what happened to him through stories.
Which he always thought were exaggerated.
Okay.
Which, some of them are a little bit of, like, a big fish. I think that's the idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really good. It's a really great movie. But your description of Lady in the Water is, like, a retelling of a tale.
Huh.
Of a movie that I've never seen, and I'm imagining all kinds of delightful things.
Oh, well. You might be disappointed.
Yeah, don't. If you're gonna watch it with her, mm-hmm. so that you get the screams.
Mm.
That makes it worth it.
But she knows when they're coming.
I haven't seen that movie
for like over 7 years.
And you scream still?
Mm-hmm.
You're so fun. You're so much fun.
Anyway. There you go. Answered another question you didn't ask.
I love it. So, did you say which... Oh, yeah, you said Ender's Game. That's right. How about you? Did you say the movie that you...
I'm confused as to what the actual question really was.
That's why I answered it backwards.
A movie that's been based off of a novel. What is your favorite adaptation of a novel into a movie? Something come to mind?
Jurassic Park.
It's a good one.
Now you're making sense.
See, okay, but I liked the book much better than the movie. Like, when I saw the movie, I didn't know there was a novel, Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
So I saw this movie, and I was like, this is amazing, there's dinosaurs, it's so great. And then, like, I grew up, I got married, and this guy's like, hey, you gotta listen to this, or you gotta read this book. Listen to this
Michael Crichton books have all, like, a lot of them have been turned into movies. And compared to the book, it's like you're watching something completely different. But Congo was the worst of all of them. That one, you don't even have to try to watch. Just read the book and leave it there. The rest of them I would watch. I'm okay with.
So, very few times have I actually read the book first.
Mm.
And then watch the movie on purpose. And
what about The Ashes?
Angela's Ashes.
Compared to the movie?
Was one of the more true movie adaptations. But that book and that movie, they're both super, super depressing. They're based on the life story of Frank McCourt, who grew up poor in Ireland. And it's basically his biography. He wrote a book about his struggles, and it's a really good read if you like depressing things.
One downer.
But the movie is just as dark. And then the other one that I am recalling right now is Memoirs of a Geisha. That was one that I read first, then I watched the movie afterwards, and I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was
a good representation of all the events that happened in the book. Mm-hmm. But obviously, when you read a book, you have more imagination, your own. And you set up the characters, what you think they look like, what you think they their voices sound like, when they're speaking to each other. And that you lose that in a movie because it's someone else's imagination.
So do you feel like if you read the book after you've seen the movie, it's already been tainted? Because now you're going to envision that character no matter what?
Yeah. Like when he showed me Jurassic Park, I already had pictures of what all these people looked like in my head because they were on the big screen.
Right, right.
So...
See, when I read Jurassic Park, I didn't see, I didn't feel like Alan Grant, is that his name?
Yeah,
Alan
Dr. Grant.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Grant. And, like, I kept trying to envision the people from the movie, but they're described differently. Mm-hmm. Only one who I felt I could envision was Ian Malcolm,
mm-hmm.
only because I liked him so much from the movie that I wanted it to be like, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Because I preferred that. Interpretation of them, but I don't think that there's a lot of parts of Jurassic Park, the book, that I don't think would work in the movie. I don't think it would have been as big of a hit if they didn't do, because that's the thing, right? It's that adaptation, taking this work and putting it into a different scope. And I think what they captured in Jurassic Park was the Steven Spielberg's genius is that whole commercialization of a product,
mm-hmm.
making it a product placement, and having that logo. And kids all grew up loving Jurassic Park because he turned it into an entire line of product, which is what the movie or the book was intending to do in the first
mm-hmm.
place. So there's certain things in the book that I wish had been in the movie, like Tyrannosaurus Rex chases and falling off
mm-hmm.
of waterfalls. That would have been really neat to see. But I don't know if the a lot of the details of that book would have gone. It probably wouldn't have been appreciated
mm-hmm.
in a movie like that. So I get why some stuff has to be changed. I actually thought that The Hunger Games was an actually good adaptation from book to movie. I don't know if you've read those. It's not that it's exactly the same, but what they added to it enhances the story that you don't get to read in the book because it's being told directly from the main character the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So when Katniss is in the games, and or if she's in her home or in her town, everything is from her point of view. But in the movie, you get to see what's happening behind the scenes that you don't hear in the book. So it gives you a little bit more of an idea of the entire world.
Right.
So in that sense, I liked that adaptation to the book. Ender's Game, I liked it, but I felt that they didn't really... I felt because they were kind of handicapped due to the fact that here is a story of a kid who spent a certain amount of years in the school and they couldn't tell that story
mm-hmm.
unless it was filmed in a 5-year or 6-year time span, which would never happen.
Yeah.
But I think that's really the only way you can really capture the power of that book.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, there's another Hunger Games coming out. Did you guys watch any of them?
Nope.
Hunger Games? Pretty good. First one was probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
A television show is coming out. We saw the Supergirl pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we watched it together.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that TV and movies are now oversaturated with all the superhero stuff? Or is the quality of it good enough that it should have its place there?
Mm.
Is that all that matters, do you think? As long as the quality is good?
And honestly, I think it just depends on the watcher, what they like.
Did you guys like the pilot, Supergirl?
I think we talked about it a little bit. It was kind of, there were a lot of cliches
mm-hmm.
in it.
Yes, very
and
tropey.
It was, I didn't really like that they keep referring to Superman, her cousin, as him, or... like, acknowledging his existence but not ever meeting him. Like, I understand that the story is about her and her side of how things went down, but he's obviously a big part of her life, and obviously everybody else knows who he is. So why do we keep calling him him?
Mm-hmm.
That was...
Yeah. Oh, I liked it. I think the idea is kind of cool, how she got there, and then what the whole plot is. And it's not just about her figuring out her powers. It's not that story again. It's going to be about how she helps this one organization or fights against it, depending on how they spin the story. But I kind of like that idea, that it's not just another Smallville.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah.
Like she's already in the superhero.
Like, let's get this moving.
Yeah. I love, obviously everyone knows I love Superman. I just don't know how long you can go telling a story of Supergirl without eventually including Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not to say that it can't be done, but her whole premise is the fact that she's Superman's cousin. That's what kind of piques your interest in her in the first place.
Mm.
Do you think it has legs to last or have the staying power of maybe Flash or Arrow?
Well, considering it, I thought Arrow was done.
No.
So far it was 3 seasons.
Yeah. It's still
going.
Now he's gonna go by Green Arrow.
Oh, okay.
He's finally assumed,
right.
Taken them that.
Well, so I think it'll probably continue, and hopefully they just eventually put them together. I don't think it'll last forever though. It's not gonna be like a 7-8 season kind of thing.
No. How about you, Daph? Do you think it will? Did you like the pilot of Supergirl, or did you think it was too cheesy?
I felt it was rushed.
Yeah.
It was fun, but I feel like DC needs to take their time with origin stories. We can't just throw in a character and expect people to just accept them. That's what makes these characters who they are. Knowing that even though they're very different, they have a very unique unique background. People want to know about that, and that's how you develop a connection with this person, right? I just thought that it was a little bit, and I found it was cheesy sometimes with her ripping her shirt open. Like,
yeah.
We've seen this before. This
mm-hmm.
isn't anything original. Give her something else.
Right.
It's not really her thing.
No.
Yeah.
And if, especially like what was said before, if there's no if they keep calling him, there's no real reference to who we're talking about, but you're taking from the person we're not talking about, it just doesn't make sense. I don't like it.
I do think that Calista Flockhart does an excellent job being her boss.
Cat Grant, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I agree with you, Daph. I think that they should, maybe because it's a pilot and they want to get people on board and excited and seeing someone fly and in the costume and all that kind of stuff, so they did rush it, but I think it would be better suited if they did take their time. And
I think they took their time with Barry Allen in the Flash
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, exactly. Like you've
and
got
even
to
with
see
Oliver Queen, like they kept doing a lot of flashbacks, and it was like, okay, now that's why he does what he does, because
yeah.
he did this before, or
right.
he was trapped before. This is how he learned to do this. He applies this when he's in this situation.
You put it together.
You put it together,
yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. There's character development.
And the viewer kind of earns it, like it's almost like deserved. It's a payoff when they get to that point where they see what's supposed to come of them. It there's a payoff to it.
Yeah.
I felt this one gave everything too quick.
Yeah.
Within 15 minutes, you see her in a costume.
And she gives herself away quick too. Like she tells the guy right away who she is, and just it was.
That could have been like in the 10th episode.
Yeah, it was like.
Yeah, that kind of made me a little bit nervous. Because what else is there?
We don't trust that character yet. We don't know their history, so why would... Yeah.
Pilots, though. Who knows if that's what they're going to air. I don't know if that was like a previewing that you know, just went out early.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to change it around to... But it was a full hour, so... I don't know. I hope it does well. I always like seeing these television shows take on a life. Like, there were some other ones that... I personally wasn't interested in Constantine. That was canceled already. So I don't like seeing stuff that is part of that genre out or canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So I want it to succeed, but I also don't want something that sucks representing Superman.
But the same well, the same writer wrote Arrow and Flash. Worked on it.
Mark Guggenheim or Berlanti?
Berlanti. So that's kind of cool that
he does know what he's doing. Yeah.
So I mean, who knows what part he had in it, or if he was like, "I'm done with this origin story. I just want to get into the plot now." Who knows?
Yeah, I'm excited for Flash though. That show was...
That cliffhanger is pretty awesome.
And some of the stuff that they have in talking about the next season, the characters they're going to introduce, and it's just like sky's the limit. There's going to be all sorts of cool stuff getting into the Flash show mythology. I'm looking forward to that. Anything else you guys want to add, comment on, talk about, bring up? Daph J, anything?
We haven't had Malone in a long time.
You know, it's funny that you should mention that because I thought that today. Just true. While I was watching you sit there and drink your drink or whatever it is you're doing over there. I thought, Malona.
It'd be very refreshing.
Yeah.
Always comes back to the Malona for you. Anything else, guys? Are we good? Wrap it up?
It's been a slice.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a slice. Guys, check out caveofsolitude.com. Little Sparrow is posting her blogs there. She has how many up now? Three
stories.
And more to come.
Mm-hmm. More to come, yes.
So we've got Little Sparrow's Nest. We've got Rapid Fire Reviews that we are posting comic book reviews there. Check it out at caveofsolitude.com. As well, you can email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Send us your lists of vinyl that you collect or movies that you want to see adapted from books. Anything you guys want to comment on, tell us if you like the show, and we will read your letters on the air. So thanks again for listening. This is Eric Anthony.
Daphne J.
Little Sparrow.
Our wild card.
Take care, everybody.